Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is H10 Hunting Tigers English News, and I am your host, T. Ray. Today is Sunday, April the 17th, 2016, and this is episode 25. We're 1/4 of the way to the magic century. Will we ever get there? Who knows? Anyways, on today's show, I've got a special guest, and his name is...
Tomzilla.
Tomzilla, welcome to the show. It's good to have you here.
It's great to be here.
Tom, we've seen you on the Facebook Hunting Tigers English News group page during games, you know, as we do kind of our live chat or whatever, and it's always fun to read your comments and stuff like that. How long have you been a Tigers fan for, buddy?
I've been a Tigers fan for quite a while. I first came to Osaka in about 15 years ago, so basically been a fan 15 years. And even what? Before I came to Osaka, I did a lot of research on for my... university, my thesis about Japan and about Japanese baseball. So I was always interested in them.
Huh, interesting. That's really cool. So, you know, you came out here, and do you remember when your first game was or what your first kind of taste of Koshien was?
It was so long ago that it's hard to remember, but I do remember. I think it was against the Swallows, and I think they lost, unfortunately. But I do remember that, and that, unfortunately, that tends to be a problem when I go to games. So sometimes I'm a little reticent to actually go to certain games because I'm like, well, I don't know. They don't have the best record when I go. So, but yeah, it was quite a while ago, but thanks to your site and all the, you know, work you've been doing, it's been easier for me to kind of dig in and get more into it and find more information, because despite being here so long, I haven't really gotten super into it, and with all the stuff you put up and with the Facebook, people on Facebook, it's a lot more fun to follow along and really get into it.
I appreciate the accolades, and you know, like for me, it's been a lot more fun just setting that kind of stuff up and having people join in on it. And you know, what would it feel like if I'd set all that stuff up and there was nobody there? So it's great to have people like you along. And
if you build it, they will come.
And they have, and it's been great. Well, guys, on today's show, again, Tom is going to be joining me for the entirety of the show, and we're also going to jump in with another guest to talk about the Dragon series that just ended. We'll talk about the Baystars before that, and we'll get into all sorts of other fun topics right after the music, so stick around. All right, so Tom, we went and we played three against the Bay Stars, except for the fact that we only played two because the middle game was rained out.
Yeah.
So how is your viewing schedule like for these two games that the Tigers played at home?
Well, unfortunately, I just started a new job, so it's kind of hard to catch the full games. But I caught the later third of these two, and I'm glad I did because they were fun games.
Gotcha.
Okay, and, cool. Easily my two favorite pitchers, you know, on Hanshin right now. So that was nice.
Yes. Yeah. I think they're kind of everybody's favorite pitcher.
But, yeah.
So let's jump right into that. So on Tuesday, we brought Fujinami to the mound, and happy 22nd birthday to him. He took the mound on his birthday. And unfortunately for him, it wasn't his best outing. But fortunately for him, it was good enough. The Tigers won 4-3, and he ended up picking up the win on his birthday. So congratulations. Good job. From what you saw in this game, Tom, did anything stand out, or what were some of the good or the bad or the ugly or anything else?
Well, Gomez was definitely very good. I mean, after last season, I was a little, you know, I wasn't crazy about him last season, and I'm glad to see that he's off to a good start. You know, it seems like he's lost a little weight maybe and just in good shape. And I think you can tell by how he's doing. And even though his average isn't amazing, like he's still getting hits where it counts, you know?
Yep. Yeah, for sure. In this one, he hit an RBI double. I think it was a two RBI double. I could be wrong. And then also, he was one of the co-heroes of the game, by the way.
Yeah.
And that was great to see. And, you know, this is a guy that does not speak English as his first language, but he was up there doing the hero interview all in English.
Yeah, I give him a lot of props, you know, because he doesn't have to do. He can speak Spanish if he wants, but he was really making an effort, so.
Yeah, and interestingly enough, like they didn't ask him to throw any Japanese into his his thing the way they did with Hay, and he came up with the gombate thing that kind of ended up being a bit of the talk of the town for a while. But another interesting thing in this one, I think it was this game, wasn't it, where Gomez hit a deep fly ball and it ended up dropping between the two fielders, or was that on Thursday?
Deep left, I think. I think that might be right.
Was it deep left? It was between the two fielders anyways, and neither of them ended up getting it, or they I think one of them bobbled it, but he made it all the way to third base on it, and it was just great hustle by Gomez.
That might have been Thursday, but yeah, both games he did a great job, so either
yes.
way.
Yes, indeed. So that's, again, ladies and gentlemen, that's one of the downsides to doing a podcast just once a week and not taking proper notes, is that you forget which games things happened in. That was game one against the
Bay Stars.
That was game one against the Bay Stars, and it was great. It ended a two-game losing streak for our team and got us back on the right track. And we're going to move in then to game two, which was Thursday, as we said. Here we go. On Thursday, it was Messenger on the mound, and he was up against first-round draft pick rookie Imanaga for the Bay Stars. And in a way, the key matchup might have been first-round Takayama for us versus first-round Imanaga for them as a pitcher. So that was kind of cool to see. And Takayama ended up going 2-for-4 in the game. Anyways, I'm getting ahead of myself here. We ended up winning this game 5-2. And Messenger earned his second win of the year, which is great because he really struggled to get wins last year in spite of his really great pitching.
Yeah.
And Mateo picked up the save in this one as well. So it was his second save in two games on the week. So good on him. And he actually he struck out 2 out of 3 in this one. So that was also great to see.
Yeah, he did a great job.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. That was right after Takamiya gave up a solo home run to Tsutsugo. What is it with us and the ninth inning and giving up solo leadoff solo home runs to Tsutsugo? That's twice now against the Bay Stars this year already.
Yeah, getting some bad deja vu.
Yeah. Fortunately, though, it was a 5-1 lead at that point, so it was not really a threat, not a big threat to us anyways. And one of the reasons is because Gomez hit a 2-run home run in the bottom of the 8th, which extended the lead for us. And Randy went 8 strong. Scattered 8 hits and struck out 7 and didn't walk anybody, which I think is the first time this year he has gone walk free. So props to him for having great control.
Yeah, he was great. And it's just great, like, to see him actually getting run support, I think a second time in a row. Because I think all last year I don't think he got that much run support, maybe once or twice. Like, but I'm really hoping this is a trend, and they're going to need it, I think. So.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, it seems that way, at least the way that the relievers are thrown and stuff like that, at least of late. You know, Randy went the deepest he's gone all season in this one as well. He went 8 full innings, which was also great to see. I just wanted to point something out in this game, and it was something that, as I was watching the game, impressed me. And it was about the foreigners on the team.
Yeah.
Where Gomez is a different guy. Like you said, he's lost some weight. He's hustling a lot more. And as I mistakenly attributed this to the first game, it was, in fact, in this game in the second inning where he hit one deep to, it was, I think, right center. And it ended up being an error for them. But he made it all the way to third base. And I think last year it may have even just been like a long, lazy single or possibly a double at best. Maybe even a throw out at second. So that was great to see. It was great to see his hustle. It's great to see that he's hitting when it matters.
Yes, because his average isn't great, but big difference. Yeah,
his home runs and his RBI production is like second to none, really, in the league, except for maybe Vicedo now on the home runs. But other than that, I mean, outstanding. And then moving on to Haig, it's just a small thing, and I know Haig's been struggling of late, but you know, in this one, the thing that I love about Haig, I've seen this a couple times, and it happened again in this game. Mm-hmm. He knows what kind of hit is needed or expected in a situation, and he does it. It's not, you know, he's not trying to hit the home run or be the hero. He hit a sacrifice fly when Gomez was on third. And he knew that all he had to do was drive the ball deep, and he did it. And there was another game where all he had to do was find the gap between first and second because it was gaping and it would score a run. And it was the game-winning run. I think that was against the Dragons very early in the year.
Yeah.
Anyways, the guy just really has a great sense for the game and what to do. in any given situation. So props to him on that. And then if you look at the pitchers, yeah, Messenger, I mean, just showing a lot of grit all night. But the thing that I love about Messenger too is, again, he's using his head really well when he's up there on the mound. He's not trying to strike out every batter. He's saying, hey, yeah, if I can get this guy out on one or two pitches, I'm going to do it. So he's really using his smarts up there. So that's great. And then again, Mateo, man, what a killer slider he's got when it's working for him. It's a thing of beauty and he's almost unhittable. And, I look forward to seeing that a lot more, down the road this season.
Yeah. Pretty good.
Other than that, I don't know. Nothing really stood out big time. I mean, we had a big sixth inning and then the big eighth inning with the 2-run home run from Gomez. But, oh, one more thing I just want to kind of just point out or mention, yeah, is that I feel like Yokota is starting to swing the bat a little bit better than he had been of late, ever since he's dropped out of the starting lineup.
Yeah.
He's pulled a few more of his hits. He's gotten a few more of them into the air where I felt like 80 to 90% of his hits before that were all on the ground. They were grounders that found holes or bounced over infields, or, you know, he ended up breaking up double plays and then being the guy on first and then scoring the run and taking the credit for a run scored too yeah. much early in the year. But he's starting to swing the bat better, so that's good to see.
Yeah. There's still time. There's still plenty of time for him to kind of adjust a bit.
Definitely. I mean, he's only 20 years old. And
yeah, so. I mean, yeah, just the season is still so early, so.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. One more note in this game, Fukudome actually ended up hurting his hamstring about halfway through the game, around the fourth inning. He hit a single to left, and then he kind of, I guess he tweaked his hammy or whatever, and he was pulled for Yokota, who ended up pinch running and then ended up staying in right field or staying in the outfield anyways for the rest of the game. So, and then as we had mentioned, or as... I guess as we're about to mention in the future,
yeah,
the magic of mixing podcasts, that Fukudome came back just for a pinch hit in the ninth inning on Sunday. So he missed, you know, pretty much three games or three and a half games really. So that was really unfortunate. But there we go. We won 2 out of 2 against the Bay Stars, and it's great. You know, like we've got to find those teams that we can beat up on.
Yeah.
And hopefully the Bay Stars can be one, and I'd love for the Giants to beat the other.
I definitely agree with that.
yeah, for sure. All right. Well, let's move into the next series where we went onto the road. So everybody, two small confessions to make right off the top. First one is that actually I had a special guest lined up for this segment about the Dragons, but when we did our recording last night, we had some audio issues, and so I actually have to redo it from scratch, and I don't have my guest back with me, and I don't even have my co-host back with me, so it's just T-Ray doing the report on the Hanshin Tigers versus the Chunichi Dragons. The second confession I have to make is that I actually only caught a grand total of 6 innings of baseball this weekend. So what I have to say right now is mostly based on just what I've seen and observed and read, and not so much on what I actually saw. But if you want to bear with me, I'll try and make this quick because I know it's not going to be super insightful. Wait, that's not the way you sell a podcast. This is going to be the most insightful time of the entire podcast. In fact, of any podcast you listen to all week. So pay close attention. Whew, there, that's better. Okay, so here we go. We're going to look at Friday's game first. And the Tigers went in with Atsushi Nomi as the starter, and he's off to a great start this season. And the Dragons actually brought Jordan Norberto, who goes by Jodan in Japanese. And last time we saw him, he was a reliever. This time he's in as a starter. And he did a number on us. I mean, we only recorded 3 hits off of him through 7 innings. And unfortunately, our starter got blown out of the ballpark. Almost literally. 2 innings pitched for Atsushi Nomi. 9 hits against, including 1 home run to, oh, guess who? Dayan Viciedo. Dayan, whatever. So there you go. 6 earned runs, as I said. He managed to strike out 3, which is great. But when you're allowing 6 runs in 2 innings, that's really small consolation. So this one you can just chalk up to poor performance at the plate from most of the guys and great performance at the dish from them, at least in their first 2 innings. But, you know, honestly, even beyond that, from the 4th inning onwards, they still managed to get 5 hits and 4 walks, 9 base runners in just 5 innings. So, you know, They really did a great job with all of our pitchers. As I said, Dan Vicieto got his fourth home run against the Tigers in four games. Why are we still pitching this guy straight on? He went 3-for-4 with that homer, a double, and a single. Come on. We got to do something about that. Other than that, nobody stood out for the Tigers. The only thing worth noting is that Naomasa Yokawa came in relief, meaning relieving Matt Haig at third base. And in his first career at bat, he got his first career hit. So congratulations to him on that. And that's about it. Honestly, there's nothing great that we can say about that game. We were out hit 14-4 on the day. So absolutely terrible. So looking to kind of avenge that, we went into Saturday bringing Yuta Iwasada to the mound against their Yamai, Daisuke Yamai, who is their veteran. And we really went to town on him in our first game against him. And actually, we did all right in this one as well. We had a 3-0 lead heading into the eighth inning. But we ended up losing that game. We gave up 2 runs in the eighth, 2 runs in the ninth, a walk-off win for the Chunichi Dragons, 4-3. Things to note in this game. First of all, Iwasada is a native of Kumamoto Prefecture, and anybody who has been living anywhere other than under a rock knows that Kumamoto has been affected very greatly by earthquakes in the past few days. And I think it was the day before his start that the first earthquake hit. And so emotionally, he was probably a little bit shaken. And his parents, his family was okay, but obviously it's still okay. Just means that they're not dead or hurt. But, you know, obviously they may be out of house, or some of his relatives maybe as well. So a tough emotional day for Iwasada. Still, he came to the mound, struck out 10, only allowed 4 hits and no runs, no walks. So a great day from him, which unfortunately was blown by our bullpen. And before we get to that, let me just talk about how we got our runs. We had a walk to leadoff hitter, a hit by Umeno. And then Toritani walked, Nishioka doubled in a run, Egoshi sack flied in another run, and Gomez hit in another run. So that was 3 runs in the fifth inning. We had that 3-0 lead, like I said, but it vanished quickly when Fukuhara came in the eighth, walked the first guy he faced, which was their number 8 batter, allowed a triple to a guy who apparently has been really struggling this year, Fuji. He was a pinch hitter. So that scored 1 run. Then Takahashi came in, and he, you know, once played for the Dragons. He came in and retired 3 straight, but on one of those outs, they scored another run. So it's 3-2 heading into the ninth. And our man, Marcos Mateo, just didn't have it today, or on that day. His slider was not working for him at all. He gave up a leadoff double followed by a walk. Then he struck a guy out, then another walk. So it's bases loaded. And their number 8 batter, who was walked the previous inning, comes up to the dish and delivers the walk-off game-winning RBI double. So that's it, 4-3, and we've lost 2 straight in Nagoya. Things are not looking great. Moving on to Sunday, we bring Iwata to the mound, and he has been struggling. And like I may have mentioned on the previous podcast, or at least on the website, Kyuji Fujikawa is down on the farm, tinkering a bit with his mechanics. Hopefully he'll be back next Sunday in the rotation, but I only say hopefully if it means that we've got an improved Fujikawa. Meantime, we've got Iwata, who, like I said, first 2 starts were not great for him. They brought Drew Naylor to the mound, who we actually had a pretty good time against back at the end of March. Unfortunately, the end result in this one was very much the same as the day before, as Saturday's game. Another walk-off loss for the Tigers. It was a 4-2 final. And the way this one went down was they scored in the first inning, then we tied it up in the fourth, then they took the lead again in the sixth, then we tied it up in the ninth, and that was a pretty cool little rally. Toritani with a hit, Yokota with a grounder that got Toritani out at second. Yokota remained on base. Imanari with a pinch hit single that brought Yokota to third. And then Fukudome with a pinch hit single that brought home Yokota. So tie game and a chance to do even more damage. But Takayama grounded to second base, grounded out to second to end the threat. So we go to extra innings after a clean ninth from Takamiya, kind of finally redeeming himself, except that in the 10th inning, he allowed a leadoff walk, at which point he was immediately pulled. The walk was to Shuhei Takahashi, and the next guy up was Dayan Viciedo, none other than the guy that had four home runs in his first four games against us. I didn't mention this about Saturday's game, but he had the leadoff double in the 10th inning, or in the 9th inning, pardon me, that led to their walk-off victory. In this one, of course, he comes up, no outs in the bottom of the 10th, man on first. And by the way, Imanadi is at the dish, behind the dish. He's the catcher at this point of the game, replacing Okazaki. And Fukuhara comes in, and he gets behind in the count. It's 3-1 count, and before you know it, the next pitch, Viciedo smokes over the right field wall. Actually, it barely stayed fair, but barely fair still counts as home run. So 4-2, walk-off win. Dragons sweep. Dragons move into third. Tigers slide down to fourth. They're on a three-game losing streak, and I think team morale is a little bit down, especially in this one. You know, we managed 9 hits and only squeezed 2 runs out of that. So hopefully things are going to go better for us sooner than later. But what are we doing pitching to Viciedo? I mean, again, in this one, he went 2-for-5. So he just totally has our number. And it's really weird, you know, I think, to have one hitter completely own another team. I mean, it's one thing where he does really well against one particular pitcher, maybe two. But, I mean, he's hit 5 home runs against, I think, 5 different pitchers on our team. So pretty amazing stuff from him. Good on the Dragons for having signed him in the offseason. And there you have it. The series is over. The Tigers are reeling. And I really hope that they can turn things around. So that's going to do it for the wrap-up. And we're going to stick around for just a little bit. And we'll be back to the co-host and me for the next section. See ya. Sorry, another thing to add is that Fukudome played almost none of that series. This is his old, you know, home stadium when he excelled with the Dragons before he went to the majors. And he only managed to appear for one pinch hit in the 9th inning of the 3rd game. Also, Shun Takayama had a locked elbow on Saturday, so he didn't appear in that game. And there was a bit of a worry. The press kind of caught wind of that and said that if he requires surgery on his elbow, he could be out for a long time. But then he came back on Sunday, proceeded to hit 0-for-5, mind you, but at least he was in the lineup. So hopefully he will return to good health and return to his hitting ways on Tuesday when we face the Swallows. All right, now we're in a segment of the show that we're going to call Player of the Week. Wow, what an original name. Anyways, so each of us gets a crack at naming one player that we think stood out. And in a week where the team went 2-3, Tom, it's sometimes hard to pick an outstanding player.
Yeah.
But have you got anybody that you would choose as your POTW?
Well, I was thinking about two different guys. And one of them was Fukudome, who made a great, you know, he was great in the 2 games he was in before he got injured for when he got injured. And then just in today's game, that hit at the end was great.
So
a really exciting moment, even though we ended up losing the game, was still a lot of fun. But I think I'm going to go with Messenger because I think, you know, seeing him getting the run support, I think this could be the start of a real good trend. And he can really, if this keeps going, I think he can be a really important a member of the pitching staff. And this could be what Hanshin needs in this season with some of the other pitching problems they're having. Like if they can start to really rely on him and the hitters can kind of start syncing up with him more, like we've seen them with this week's game and last week's game. And just the way he did it was a really strong outing, you know, going 8 innings, not panicking or anything. I think we're going to really need that in the future. So, mm-hmm. I think I'm going to give him the award for this week.
I like a good call. As we mentioned during the recap, you know, it was the first game of the year that he issued no walks. So that's always exciting. It's a good way to keep the pitch count low. But, just on the note that you mentioned about the run support or lack thereof, especially last year, a couple things. First of all, he must have been nervous in this one because through 5 innings, we had 2 hits.
Yeah.
As an offense. And 1 run on those 2 hits. But in the sixth and then in the eighth, we got him some more run support, which was kind of nice. But, you know, last year, I just feel like it was a very different Randy Messenger as well. Like when he wasn't getting run support, you could almost see like the tension or like the,
frustrated.
Oh, not again.
Yeah.
You know? And maybe even the players, you know, like I know in hockey, a lot of times they'll say like, oh, you know, we've been squeezing the stick a little bit too tight, you know, when they don't score goals. And I wonder if the guys are saying like, yeah, we're squeezing the bat a little bit too hard. You know, maybe they feel it like, oh man, Randy's on the mound. We got to get him runs. And when you think about it too much.
Vicious cycle, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
They don't get the runs. He gets frustrated. That makes them more stressed out. They don't get runs. And then, yeah, so all of last season was pretty bad when it came to that.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe this year, now that they've had a couple games where they've been able to give him runs, maybe he's got more confidence in them. They've got more confidence in themselves. And it could actually be, what's the opposite of a vicious cycle, a vicious circle?
It's a virtuous circle, I think.
Oh, there you go. Virtuous circle. So this might be the circle of virtue for Randy Messenger for 2016. I'd love to see it.
Yep. I hope so.
Yeah. Well, good call on your player of the week. And I'm actually going to go to the hitting side of things. And I'm going to pick Mauro Gomez as my player of the week.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. How did I miss that one?
I don't know. Well, it's not like he had an amazing week or anything. I mean, he hit one home run.
Yeah.
He had, I think, one extra base hit. And then he had the one time where he reached third base on the error.
Yeah.
Which showed great hustle. But the fact that he came into the week hitting, I don't even know, I think it was 171. And the week, he batted 300. So he went 6 for 20. And he had, you know, several RBI. He added to his lead in the RBI category in the Central League. So just showing that consistency. And as I was saying earlier, you know, Gomez just hitting when it counts.
Yeah.
And it's just great to see. And he did it this week. You know, he gave us the insurance runs on Thursday. He gave us, I think, one or two RBIs on Tuesday as well. And then he got us a couple hits today. They didn't result in anything, but
still,
he's doing his part of the dish. So
you want him to keep trying when things aren't going great. So he definitely did that. And I think the both of them, I think Messenger and Gomez are really stepping up to the plate this this year. And they seem a little different. And I hope they can keep that positive energy going.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, it's interesting, though. In 2014, we were accused, or we, you know, a lot of times in the media, they would say that the Hanshin Tigers are relying too heavily on the imports.
Yeah.
And it was definitely, I mean, in a way it was true, because they all ended up winning titles of some sort.
Yeah.
But it's not that I don't even think they're depending on the imports too much this year, but the imports are just coming through big time.
Yeah, definitely. Which is, hey, if they want to complain about it, fine, but it's a good thing to complain about. It's a good problem to have.
Well, I mean, you bring in the imports to do just that, right?
And
not to necessarily carry the team, but certainly to, you know, to give that team the extra edge that they need. And that's what our imports are doing.
Yep.
Although, in this past Dragons series, it seems like their imports are doing the same, because Jordan dominated us, Naylor dominated us, Vicieto killed us, and even Anita had a pretty decent showing as well. So,
yeah, other teams are going to do it too, so
it's
not really optional anymore.
No, definitely not, definitely not. Okay, we're going to move into a special topic here, and I want to talk a little bit about the catching situation with the Hanshin Tigers with you, Tom, just for a few minutes.
It's going to be painful. You know,
yeah, it could be painful. It could go long, or it could end in just a minute. But just to kind of lay down the kind of background for everybody out there, we've got two catchers on the first squad up until this point. We have Taichi Okazaki and we have Ryutaro Umeno. And Okazaki has been catching almost exclusively for Messenger and Nomi. Mm-hmm. And Umeno has been getting the rest of the workload. Now, Okazaki's 32 years old, and this is the first year that he has actually made it to the Ichigun or the main squad from the start of the season. And this is the most he's ever played in his career on the first squad. Whereas Umeno was the, I want to say, fourth round pick in the 2013 draft. So he was drafted the same year as Iwasada. He was also drafted the same year as Iwazaki, Yamamoto, and a couple other guys. I think Yokota was in that as well. You know, he's maybe seen as the catcher of the future, or potentially so anyways. And he's had pretty decent success at the dish in his first two seasons, mm-hmm. or he's definitely shown the potential to be a catcher that can hit and can hit with power.
Yeah.
On the other hand, Okazaki is a guy that, like I said, you know, has not had a great start to his career, but really showed himself to be strong enough during camp and during exhibition games.
Yeah.
So the question that I want to ask you and I even want to ask our listeners, and so if you want to, you know, give us comments on, you know, in the various areas, go for it. But who's your preferred catcher? Why? What kind of workload should they give each of these guys moving forward? And even, like, are there any catchers on the farm that you like or that you think, you know, should we go with a third catcher? Or, you know, now that Imanari played a couple innings at catcher today, do you think that they should use him more there? So a whole lot of questions. Let's start with who do you like at catcher so far, Tom?
Well, I haven't seen much of a Okazaki and just the games I've been able to catch, but what I've seen of Umeno, I was going to suggest that maybe you start a new segment called Umeno, because it's just that's what I find myself saying most of the time when he goes up to bat. So but today's appearance by Imanari seemed pretty good to me, and he seemed to do well enough. I mean, I know they lost, but at least he seems to be able to hit pretty well. I think he hit pretty well last year, so maybe they should just give him a try and see how it goes, because Umeno is just, I mean, I can't really say Okazaki's that much better. We haven't really seen him that much at this level, but I'm just fed up with Umeno. I know, and he's young. Maybe he just needs more time in you know, the other leagues, the Nigun or whatever, but it's just tough to watch.
And that's always the question is, you know, he needs more time, but where does he need it? Is it at Nigun or Ichigun? And well, then
not at Ichigun. You know,
so I'm going to kind of counter that by saying that, you know, this is the year that Kanemoto is called Chohenkaku, you know, ultra reform or big changes. And it is a year where I think more so than aiming for the championship, we're aiming for maturing our players and changing the attitude and all that kind of stuff. And so maybe we just need to put up with Umeno's growing pains at the Ichigun level, because from what I've seen of him playing at Nigun, he does fine there.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there's anything for him to learn down there.
Maybe it's just nerves or something, or
it could be. And don't get me wrong, I don't disagree with what you said. I mean, like, yeah, he has been awful this year, and he has he's gotten outs in the least timely.
Really bad times, yeah.
Yeah, his timing on blowing it has just been terrible. I don't know if he's ever gunned down a runner at second, or a guy that's trying to steal second yet this year. I could be wrong, but I don't think I've seen
it
yet.
Not that I remember. I mean, like, yeah. If it happened, I don't remember it.
Well, and if it happened, it only happened once, in which case we probably would remember it, because it would be that much more memorable.
Yeah,
it
would stand out.
So I'm going to say he hasn't. So you said you haven't seen much of Okazaki, and that's fine. I think he's batting .211 on the season, and interestingly,
which isn't great, which someone brought up, but like, what's Umeno batting? Like, compared to Umeno, it's like, that's not bad. What is he, 100?
Umeno's under $1.50 still. Yeah, I think he's actually closer to .120. So
I think so. So maybe .211. I mean, .211 doesn't sound great, but for a catcher, you know, if he can catch well and do better than $1.50, then I think we got to take him.
yeah, for sure. Yeah, and another thing too, though, is that, Okazaki's really been slumping lately, but he started the year a bit better. I really think he has the potential to be that .250 or .260 hitter. But the other thing is, just as somebody was dogging Okazaki on the Facebook page, and I just...
Oh, really, yeah, today there was, you know, some... What?
Maybe it's uncalled for, and I didn't want to, like... snap back too quickly. So I actually dug into the stats, and his on-base percentage is something like it's either 348 or 384 or something like that.
Wow.
And I mean, for a number eight hitter, that's pretty good. So I think Okazaki's got a pretty keen eye for what's a ball and what's a strike. And I've always marveled at how, you know, so few catchers can do that when they're batters.
Yeah.
But he seems to be able to do it, and Umeno doesn't. So far I like Okazaki better as catcher.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be curious to see Imanari get more shots at it, but I definitely think Okazaki is better for now, for the near future at least, than Umeno. And mm-hmm. I think someone on the Facebook group also mentioned that Yano said that Okazaki's the best, so the best choice, which, you know,
yeah,
is interesting. So,
well, and who better than Yano to determine that?
Exactly.
A, because he's a former catcher, and B, because he is pretty much the same as Okazaki in that he never really got, you know, regular playing time at catcher until he was around 30 years old.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, he ended up having a pretty long, fruitful career, played until he was, I think, 42.
Yeah.
Okazaki could still, I mean, he's still got potentially, you know, 6, 7, 8 years ahead of him where he could be a catcher. And so, you know, he maybe has, you know, needs to grow a bit as a catcher as well, but he can do it.
Yeah.
There's nothing saying he can't.
And it's like, I know they're trying to develop the young talent, but at the same time, when they rehire guys like Fujikawa, it's like, well, you're giving him another shot. So why not give, you know, Okazaki another shot? And he's a lot younger than Fujikawa, if I remember correctly.
Sure. Yeah. I think Fujikawa is 35 going on 36 soon, yeah. And Okazaki's 32.
32.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. Significant gap. So interestingly, I was talking to another buddy of mine offline. Wow. Yeah. People actually do that. Yeah. he was talking about, Umeno and pretty much what you said, just like how, you know, he's Umeno and, I kind of thought about it from the team perspective of why do they start Umeno so much? And this is what I came out with. And, you can tell me what you think of this. You know, they maybe see Umeno as the catcher of the future. So they want him to develop that rapport and get started while they're young with guys like Iwasada and Fujinami. And so they've paired those two with Umeno exclusively so far.
Yeah.
Maybe because, you know, there's the potential for them to do this for another decade or at least until Fujinami moves on to the majors.
Yeah.
So that's maybe the rationale for those two. And then the other two, Iwata, I believe their rationale is that last season they really had something special. I mean, Umeno did much better at calling the game for Iwata than Tsuruoka or Fuji did.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things is that Umeno has the tendency to call for the low pitches a lot more. And Iwata, a lot of his breaking stuff kind of ends up being like, they're not sinkers, but they end up kind of, you know, in the dirt and stuff like that. And so they kind of match each other real well.
Yeah.
So that might be the rationale for Iwata. And then with Kyuji, I don't know if I read this or if I just guessed it, but I think they are trying to kind of get a veteran like Kyuji to kind of like...
Mentor
or take him under his wing, kind of teach him what it means to catch from a pitcher's perspective.
Yeah.
And, you know, Kyuji's got the experience, but he's also got the ability to voice his opinion a lot more, I think, maybe than a guy like Nomi.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's the rationale behind putting Umeno behind the catcher's mask for 4 out of the 6 starting guys. Now, whether that means that I like it or not, that's a different story.
Yeah, I mean, it does make it a bit more understandable, but it's, I don't know, like, I don't lose the patience.
It does make it less frustrating.
Yes. Yeah. So
yeah, I'd love to maybe see Okazaki get a couple more starts with some of the other guys, or at least give him a try with... you know, just for example, Iwata, who has not really had a stellar outing in his first 3 with Umeno. So maybe say, okay, well, not that the magic's gone, but let's see if Okazaki can do something with Iwata.
Yeah, might as well experiment a bit at this point.
Yeah. I mean, this early in the season too, right? So I'd love to see Okazaki get more time. I don't know if there's room for Tsuruoka to come up from the farm.
Mm-hmm.
Other guys on the farm, I haven't been paying real close attention, but I do know that one of the Ikusei players who are not actually allowed to play Ichigun as long as they're Ikusei, Haraguchi,
mm-hmm.
He's another guy that apparently has got a pretty good bat.
Cool.
He's a catcher. So there's the potential there. He's, I think, 23 years old, and then we just drafted Sakamoto, who's maybe the opposite. His bat isn't great, but apparently the way he calls a game, even at his age, at age 22, is apparently mature beyond his years. So... you know, we've got some good potential future catchers, and it's going to be an interesting next few years. And from what I've read, it seems like all the great teams have great catchers, or like one main catcher, you know, not so much a platoon.
Yeah. When they have one guy they can kind of rely on a bit more, it's like it lets them focus more on other things, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. It'll be interesting to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really hope Umeno breaks out of his slump. You know, not so that he can earn more playing time, but just so that maybe, you know, the fans can get off him a little bit, management can get off him, and, you know, just he might gain his confidence back and stuff like that. And so,
yeah,
you know, I find it hard to cheer against any of the Tigers, honestly.
Yeah, I'm not cheering against them. Just, you know, I don't mind. I guess as an older guy myself, I'm just, hey, give old Okazaki a chance, you know, and.
Yeah.
Just, but it, you do get frustrated. So
yes, yes. All right. So let's move into another segment here, Tom. I want to try this. I don't know how well it's going to go over, both on this show and also in the future, but just kind of a fun corner. I want to throw out a question that just kind of crossed my mind as I was thinking about podcasting and stuff. Here's the question of the week. What would it take to get Ryota Arai to Koshien this year to play on the Ichigun team or to be with the Ichigun team? How do we get Ryota Arai back to Koshien? Because this is a guy, just to kind of highlight a bit of his background, he started with the Chunichi Dragons. He moved to the Tigers, I believe it was in 2011. 11.
Maybe 11?
Yeah, start of 2011. Because this is his sixth year with the team. He spent five with the Dragons. He is the younger brother of Takahiro Arai. So we had both brothers on the team for a while. Takahiro left. Ryota stayed. Ryota is pretty popular. You see a lot of his jerseys at Koshien, the big 3-2 and Arai, and particularly the girly uniforms, the pink ones. Mm-hmm. He's really popular with the ladies. This is a rated PG show, so, you know, get your mind out of the gutter, but he does swing a big bat, you know. Get your mind out of the gutter, as I said. This is Ryota Arai, who's hit some really big home runs for us. And in the one season that he actually produced, he actually did a pretty decent job. I mean, this is a guy that I think it might have been the 2011 season. Why don't you look this stuff up before the show, T-Ray, right?
I think he hit about 2014. I think he hit pretty well. I think he just hasn't played a lot of full seasons, but what was it? I think 2014 he was hitting almost 300, so not bad.
Yeah, yeah. 2014 he ended up hitting 295. That's been his best year as far as average goes. But in his first 2 years, in 2012, 2013 with the Tigers, he reached double digits in home runs, and his career best in RBI is 51. That was playing 119
games.
Thanks. Yeah. 119 games, 51 RBI. So really not a bad total. So he's definitely got the potential to be a starter, but he has been on the Nigun team. We've called up three or four guys already to Ichigun as far as fielders go, and none of them have been named Ryota Arai. So what does it take to get him up here? I mean, is he really that bad? Some of the things that I thought of were, we've got beer girls. Let's make Ryota Arai a beer boy. And the ladies will come to the stadium and, man, they will buy beer from Ryota Arai, let me tell you.
Yeah, I mean, he could, you know, earn his keep that way. So they might make it a bit of a sweeter deal for them and overlook some of his problems maybe. And I was also thinking maybe he could do one of these, like, charity calendars. You know, with the sad situation in Kumamoto, maybe they could have, like, a shirtless Ryota calendar, you know.
Oh, sign me up.
Yeah. You know, I think it's like printing money, you know. So
there you go, Ryota. If you're listening, there's some ideas for you just to get your name out there a little bit more.
You heard it here first.
Yeah, there you go. You can put H10 in the credits, and particularly Tom Zilla for that one.
I'll buy the first calendar available.
Ooh. There's a promise I wouldn't
for
want
my to wife. For my wife. Ah.
Well, again, that's maybe not something I'd want to admit either. But. All right. Another idea I had was that, we've got these guys and girls on the kind of on the sidelines, so to speak, catching fly ball or not catching fly balls or foul balls, but the foul grounders and stuff, just fielding them before they carry them off into the field. Maybe he could do that just to keep himself a little bit fresher and just to make himself seen a little bit more at Koshien.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Get a little exercise in.
Yeah. Any other possibilities?
I think...
I've only got one. Oh, sorry.
Oh, you go have ahead. Another one? Yeah.
I do, but I'm not sure if it's a really good one or not. But, you know, why not bring him in as like a second base umpire or something like that? And, you know, just slide him in there. Nobody would notice, but at least for his own satisfaction that, hey, I'm at Koshien.
Yeah, but
you know?
Then the ladies won't get to really, be able to appreciate them. So kind of defeats the purpose, part of the purpose, at least, you know.
maybe. But what is the purpose of Ryotarai? That's the question. Is it run production? Is it getting more ladies in the stands?
All of the above.
yes. Maybe Ryotarai himself needs to become a charity. I don't know. Well, all joking aside, everybody, as I was saying earlier to Tom, it's hard to cheer against any of the Hanshin Tigers. So even though he's struggling, he's 32 years old and he's on the farm, and I don't know, like, is he going to get called up or not? I hope that his 2016 stat line is not filled with bagels, at least as far as the Ichigun team goes. So all the best to you, but if worse comes to worse, Ryota, consider some of our ideas, wouldn't you?
Sounds good.
Yep. All right. Finally, we are going to talk predictions for the upcoming week. This past week, we went 2-3, and I predicted they would go 4-2. Now, because of the one rainout, I mean, they could have gone 3-3, so I might have missed by one. I might have missed by two. I'm not really sure. But Wizzo, he predicted a 5-1. So, raspberries to you, Wizzo. That was terrible. Not even close. If the two walk-offs had gone the other way, I guess it would have been
close. They probably would have won that game that got rained out. So,
oh, there you go. Yeah. So this week we are hosting the Swallows for 3, and then we're going to Hiroshima for 3. And it looks like against the Swallows, we're going to have Fujinami on Tuesday and Moria from the farm on Wednesday, and then Messenger on Thursday.
Yeah.
And then against the Carp, it's looking like Nomi, Iwasada, and I don't know if it's going to be Iwata or if they're going to bring Fujikawa back, because Fujikawa is eligible to come back on that Sunday. But either way, that's what it's looking like for the week. You got any predictions for us, Tom?
You know, I think they're going to bounce back. I was going to say, I think they always have a bad time when it comes to Nagoya Dome, and it's still early in the season. And I think they're going to sweep the Swallows.
Ooh.
Yeah. And Koshien, one interesting thing, I think the 21st is actually going to be in Okayama. The game's played in Kurashiki, if I have this right.
You're exactly right.
So,
thanks for the reminder.
I don't know how that'll affect things, but it can't hurt. I think it's still technically a Hanshin home game, right?
It is.
Yep. So that could be a kind of an X factor. But Hiroshima, I'm not sure. I think we're going to take only one out of those. So I would go 4-2, 3 against the Swallows, 1 against Hiroshima.
I'm going to go 4-2 as well, and I'm going to go 2-1 against the Swallows and 2-1 against Hiroshima.
Yeah.
I love what I've heard about Koki Moria on the farm, but I kind of have a feeling nerves might get the better of him, and that might be the one that ends up being a wash.
Yeah.
Although it would be nice to see the Bats bail him out, which could happen. I don't know who – I need to know who the Swallows are bringing to the mound against us or the Carp.
Yeah.
And that's going to be the tricky part, because if the Carp are bringing Kuroda or Johnson or, well, I don't know. Their starting pitching just seems to have our number. Even Yokoyama in that last series had us pretty good.
Yeah.
So maybe I need to change it. Yeah, I'm going to go 3-3. I'll say 2 against Swallows and 1 against the Carp.
Another 3-3 week.
Sorry, yeah.
Another one.
But I was right the last two times, and this time I went bold and went up with a losing record on the week. So,
well, not as bad as Wizzo's, but no offense, Wizzo.
Be offended, Wizzo. Be offended.
Be very offended.
So, I think Fujinami and Messenger are going to continue their winning ways. And I think Nomi's going to bounce back. I think it's going to be a Nomi win against the Carp, unless one of their big aces are going on Friday.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go 3-3. So, again, we will check in on that later.
Cool.
All right, a couple of announcements, and we'll wrap up the show at that point. I think some of you may have caught this last week. Myself and a couple of buddies, we did a Fantasy Tigers draft, and it was a blast. And I put up the team rosters on the website. I'll put the links in the show notes for that, so you can check our rosters. And I also put up the initial scores. We're going to be updating the fantasy scores. We haven't decided how often, but at least once a month. I'm actually hoping to do it weekly if possible, so you can kind of track us through the season. But man, I'll tell you, I didn't have a very good week because I had Nomi on my team and he stank it up for us. And then Fukudome got hurt, so he missed 3 games and he was on my team. So I had a couple of key guys just not come through for me, but I think I'm still in the lead. I was killing it at the start, like as of last Sunday night, I was killing it. So hopefully I'm still in the lead. Anyways, onward and upward, we are looking forward to the Tigers bouncing back and getting a few more games above 500 before the month of April wraps up. Again, if you've got any comments for us, tell us. Who do you like at catcher with the Hanshin Tigers this year? Or who would you like to see more of? Or is there anyone on the farm that you'd like to see called up and get some playing time at catcher? That's the question of the week for all of you out there. Send us an email, podcast@thehanshintigers.com. Drop us a line on the Facebook page, in the Facebook group. You can catch me on Twitter @thehanshintiger. And Tom, why don't you plug yourself on Twitter there as well? I know you've got a Twitter handle or two, right?
Actually, the one I'm using mostly recently is the one about Kansai, about the Kansai region, called @beingKansai. And if anyone in Kansai is actually interested in curating that, I'm going to rotate the curation. So just send me a message if you're interested. And, you know, it's good to use some to talk about baseball and stuff, whatever you want. Anything's okay. So,
yeah. It's actually a pretty cool place to kind of just find information about the Kansai area and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, good stuff there, Tom. It's been great having you on the show this week, and hopefully you can catch us again. You can join us again one of these weeks coming up.
Oh, yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So everybody out there, enjoy your week, enjoy your baseball, and we will catch you in a week's time.